Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Welcome to Color Me Happy. My name is Brandy Hofer, your host. Thank you so much for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. This is a really cool episode, one you will not want to miss, with Jackie Dunham, who is a Menopause Society certified practitioner. And she's also studied, and of course I'm reading this from notes, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. So she really knows what she's talking about. She's developed a program called Harmonique, personal path to hormonal harmony. So it's an individualized treatment program for women, primarily for women. She talked about treating couples in this episode, where you develop a treatment program using bioidentical hormone supplements, nutrition, and lifestyle measures to help you alleviate troublesome symptoms and achieve optimal health. So it's a really informative episode, and I loved it so much. I definitely want to go see Jackie. I know, like, not one of my friends isn't struggling in some way with their hormones and in this season of life and beyond when you get perimenopausal and into menopause. And Jackie talked about how you can prevent thinning skin and aging, and you don't have to go through these things in such a terrible way, but more of a manageable way with what she does. So it's really, really cool. I'm glad she took the time to come on. I'm very grateful to her. We have exciting news. We have a show up. Our IM exhibition is up online. You can check it out in the notes at brandyhofer.ca. I will link it there. It is, if you are local to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, you can check the show up in show out. Oh my gosh, I'm sick today and it is so clear because I can't talk. You can check this show out live in person at Alt House in Saskatoon, or you can see the whole collection on our website. So I'm very proud of it. It's very gorgeous and colorful and full of life. And I have on my notes how I felt about it. It's like stepping into a fantasy that empowers you to be bold in your own reality. So that was the idea behind that collection. Thank you so much again for being here. Thank you to our partners, BioClean Disaster Services, Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center, Red Bicycle Communications, and Oasis Hot Yoga and Spin Studio. We'll talk to you soon, my friends. Remember to reach out anytime at Brandy Hofer Studios on Instagram. I'm happy to chat if you have questions, or if you want to share what you're working on in our Color Me Happy community, where we is free and we have art challenges every week and like Motivational Monday. So it's a really nice place to be. Thank you again for listening. We'll chat with you soon. Bye.
For sure. No, it's just a different phase of life, and it's really cool. You know, I think the biggest thing I've learned for women at this point of life is, especially menopause and stuff, makes you focus on yourself. You know, and it's kind of the first time that you go, okay, I do have the time and I need to take the time because things are kind of going awry and I want to figure it out. So you've got to take the time and go, you know what, how do I keep my stress level down? What works for me? You know, whether it's medications, whether it's yoga, whether it's art, you know, all those things. So it's just figuring out what works
you
for you.
Finally, you finally have the time to have do it.
The time to do it, and it forces you to turn inward and look at what works for you.
Yeah. So, no, I feel like women who are at that stage are like, oh, I miss that so much. And I'm like, do you miss this so much? Because literally I'm like, my hair is falling out from stress. Like,
well, and I think it's so easy to say that when you're in hindsight, you look at it and go,
you see the good parts, right? You remember the good parts.
You do. Which is great.
When they still love you and want to snuggle you and stuff.
Yeah, and I think like having everyone say at that at your stage, like it goes by so quickly. Just embrace it and enjoy it. You do feel like that once you're through it. I feel like that too, and you realize those are the best parts of your life. Is your children, whether no matter what age they are, really. So
yeah.
So I can see that.
I
but
can
it's
feel
easy.
Like it's the best part. Yeah. Like right. And the most rewarding, but the most
but also
challenging.
The most, exactly.
Sorry, that's so, the eggs rotating, so that'll okay. make a noise.
Well, I do think anything that's the most rewarding is also the most challenging too. So
you're
no
right.
matter what it is.
Right? Okay, welcome, yeah. Jackie. That was just like a little insight into what the conversation is. And why you're here is to, and you can talk about it more, but talk about women's health and your new, is it a program?
It is, we call it a program because of the fact that, I mean, normally in medicine, what you do is you see a patient, you give them a treatment and maybe follow up when they're coming back for refills, etc. This treatment plan is a little bit more individualized. So it kind of, because it's sort of an, I would say like kind of like an art form because it's a little bit different for everyone, takes a little tweaking along the way. Mm-hmm. So usually what I do is see someone, we do labs, etc. We talk about lifestyle, diet, sleep, exercise, all of that kind of thing. And according to what their symptoms are and stuff, we develop a treatment plan. I follow them through for at least 6 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is really... Yeah.
It goes by really quickly, too. Like, you know...
Is that not above and beyond? Or you just, like, started this new... Like, how did this happen?
Well... I guess I've seen a need for it. I've kind of wanted to specialize in hormones for a long time. And because I think I call myself hormonally challenged, you know, from a younger age, you know, having issues with menstruation, all that kind of thing. I guess the science part of my brain has always wanted to investigate. So I've been so interested in the natural side of, you know, getting to the root cause of things. So I've worked with the naturopath over the years. So I think I just felt like I've sort of accumulated a lot of knowledge along the way and want to use it in order to help people. And the best way to do that is, you know, to, I guess I studied Bioidentical with the Bioidentical Academy. And then also studied with and became a certified menopause practitioner through the Menopause Society. So I kind of feel like I have the conventional wisdom as well as a bit more of kind of that functional medicine wisdom. And putting those two things together as well as, you know, supplements, diet, lifestyle, all the foundational stuff. Just, I think... just that wisdom and passing it on and putting it together for someone is super helpful in a treatment form, not just take this, you know, I'll talk to you later.
Because there's no one size fits all.
Exactly. It's not like, cookie cutter at all. No, it isn't. And everyone's had their own life experiences, been through their own situations, medical history, etc. So putting that all together and kind of, it's like a puzzle. It really is. And, I've found that really interesting, even talking to other practitioners and saying like it's actually fun figuring it out and getting the patient involved. I think the biggest thing is getting the patient involved and helping them realize that you heal. I don't heal you. You actually do the work. I'm telling you, here's some things to support you, help you feel better so that you can do the things you need to do to live your best life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you working with people who aren't in menopause as well?
So I mean, typically it's mostly, I would say, the perimenopausal people. So that's perimenopause is if you really
can you define that?
So well, I'll try. So perimenopause, peri of course just means around menopause, so really technically I guess it could be on either side of menopause. And when you think about how a woman changes, really in your 30s, you're starting to go through perimenopause, whether you realize...
I felt a shift. I was like, something, I'm no longer...
Well,
bouncing up, but we're bouncing right. back
so quickly.
From anything.
Oh, our hormones make right? a huge difference. And you know what's interesting? I was just listening to a podcast and I thought, okay, that is true. Like, and it was in some of my studies, but I didn't really pay attention to it, was that we're born with in utero, you have the most oocytes, so eggs, that you ever will have. And in your 30s, you're down to, I think they said, about 10% of your total eggs. So that's in your 30s. So, you know, I mean, if you're not ovulating anymore, things are changing. The estrogen, you know, levels are changing. So is progesterone. So all of those things begin to change. So I've heard some people talk about the perimenopause years as like the stock market phase, because 1 month you're up, 1 month you're down, you know, you're kind of all over the place. There's not a lot of stability. So
no. And if you throw having children in there, it's really
absolutely. And stress, of course, stress ends up, you know, affecting everything else, like the stress of motherhood, having a career on top of it. If you're not feeling well, you know, there's so many things that can cause stress, and that cascades into other things. And I always talk about I do a hormone panel. So that's your stress hormones, your thyroid hormones, your sex hormones, and look at everything.
So you take blood work?
Yeah. I do blood work always to begin with. And then, I like to have that as sort of a baseline. And then I have it so that I can follow up and see how things are changing. But I also at the beginning do saliva and blood spot testing, because that gives me a little bit more in-depth look at things, and I can compare the two. So at first during the process, it can kind of seem like, wow, this is taking, you know, because it takes a couple weeks to get those saliva and blood spot tests back.
So so I know kind of, right, you see the hormones in the blood work.
Right.
Right? And then, and when we talked about stress, and we can talk about stress more, stress spikes cortisol, right? Mm. And then...
Cortisol is your stress hormone.
Or it is a stress hormone.
It is your stress hormone from the adrenals. So if something's stressing you, you need cortisol. Sometimes we demonize cortisol. We do need cortisol. It's what wakes us up in the morning. It's an anti-inflammatory hormone. But if we have too much all the time, so if someone's under a lot of demands, a lot of stress, like a mom, like a, you know, someone who has a really stressful career, et cetera, mm-hmm. and doesn't have the outlets to, you know, and I think the big thing is what outlets are you using to relieve that stress? Like some people can use breathing exercises, yoga, you know, those kind of things. But so we need that, but we don't want it to be elevated all the time. So, I mean, some people will say adrenal fatigue is sort of a phenomena or a syndrome that doesn't really exist. I really do see if someone has been adrenally stressed and had, like, you know, under chronic stress, eventually their adrenals won't spit out as much cortisol, and you'll see them very flat-lined, kind of overwhelmed very easily, can't handle things as much. And when people really describe overwhelm by certain symptoms, like, you know, everything is setting them off, they just can't get much done, have to drink coffee all day long, you know, those kind of things, that really tells me, okay, you've probably been under chronic stress. I like to look at those cortisol levels. There's supplements that we can use, mm-hmm. Different adaptogens and stuff that can help that adrenal and just support it to, they're very amazing herbs, because they help the adrenals to spit out enough cortisol at the right times. But
right.
Not, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
So it's really weird
because,
how it works.
Like, your estrogen can spike when you're,
right.
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm coming.
Yeah,
we don't have to even get to the rest of the stats.
Okay, done.
I'm coming.
And I think that's a thing that you see with people. As soon as you say a few things that they identify with, they're like, oh, that's me. And the interesting thing that I've found with people that I see is they'll often walk in and, like, it's not news to me. I kind of know what to expect and what they're going to say, depending
well,
on
friend of
where
mine,
they're right.
Who they're like, they're something's toast. It's just the
right.
age we're at.
So exactly. So, I mean, at your age, what's happening, what I find is, so how you experience PMS think of, like, so PMS, you can think of it as a little mini menopause. And then, so menopause is like, you're out.
Cool. Yeah. So I get to do that all the time.
But the neat thing about it is we know so much more now. And especially like through the Menopause Society, I think one of the things they're really trying to, their message is trying to let people know is that, you know, menopause is inevitable. You will go through it. But suffering is optional. So there's lots of things we can do. We can age so much better if we get hormones on board at the right time. We don't want to wait till we're 65, 70 years old and then add them. That's where the risk is involved. But if we get them on board at the right time, the skin doesn't thin as quickly. Your cardiovascular disease is much less. Brain fog, like cognitive, you know, it's like you'll often hear people my age going, oh, my brain fog, like I can't do, like my career is suffering, etc. And so much to do with the estrogen decline. So yeah,
interesting.
So if we can get those things on board at the right time,
that's a reminder that our podcast should start.
Oh, there we go. We're early.
We're early. I like it. It's good. So when you do the hormone panel blood work, and then you do the saliva and blood spot testing. So what does that show you?
So that's the cortisol mostly. So if you think about serum, like if you went to Dynalife, that's serum, testing. So we're getting venous blood. When you do saliva or capillary, so blood spot, you poke your finger and do a blood spot test, you're getting tissue levels of hormones. So actually, the amount of hormone that is affecting the receptors, affecting your body, etc. So venous is not quite the same. You still get good levels, etc., but it's a little bit more accurate with saliva, especially for certain hormones. So cortisol, when you do it 4 times during the day, I get to see, is your cortisol, I want it to be a nice, healthy level in the morning when you wake up, because that is what wakes you up. Then I want it to kind of have this, we call it a diurnal rhythm. So higher in the morning and lower at night. Sometimes you'll see, for instance, people with sleep apnea right before they go to bed. Why is their cortisol spiking? Have you had a sleep study? You know, it kind of just is an indicator into all these things. Or are they stressed about something else? Are they on their phone too much at night? You know, giving you that sort of that cortisol spike, or, you know, different things like that. So I look at that, see, do they need adrenal support? That's mostly what the saliva is. It also gives me some insight into sex hormones as well. The blood spot is mostly, like, I can test the hormones in that, but I use it mostly to take a really good look at the thyroid panel. So, and thyroid is your master gland, so it's kind of helping regulate everything else. So I always try to look at that too. And it does usually align quite nicely with the serum test, but I do it anyway because it's part of the test of the saliva. And I usually only have to do that saliva and blood spot the first time, and then it's a bit more costly, but it comes with the initial consultation. Our pharmacy pays for that, comes with that initial consultation, and then if the patient really wants to, or I think it would benefit them later down the road, we can do it again. But the serum testing is free, you know, it's covered through healthcare, and so I try to use that as much as I can because I want to make it affordable so that these kind of services are available to
for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, like even in the States, there's a lot of places, a lot of great functional doctors and nurse practitioners that you can go to that provide these services, but they're in such high demand that it's so costly that a lot of people can't afford it. So So that was our goal, is to make it so that we're not losing money, but we're providing a really good really good service for people, and it's affordable. So,
where is it based out of?
It's out of the Co-op Pharmacy.
Co-op Pharmacy.
Yeah.
So they can phone?
Yeah. So typically, what I do is get everyone, so that I can keep track of all the patients, I get everyone to email harmonique@lloydminstercoop.com.
Okay.
And if they phone, it's fine if they phone, but all the other pharmacists, etc., will give you that email to to email just so that I can keep track of everyone. Otherwise, it's kind of hard.
If we'll have it in the we'll have it in the notes for everyone.
Yeah.
So you said you also look at lifestyle, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think if we're not looking at like, so what are the foundational things? So that to me would be, what are you eating like? What's your nutrition? Are you exercising? What's your sleep like? Mm-hmm. Of course, sleep, especially in the perimenopausal and menopause transition years, sleep is usually affected. Most women you'll find, especially when those hormones go a little imbalanced, especially when progesterone's depleted, they'll find they're waking up with night sweats. You might find that right after you have a baby too.
Yes, yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, yeah, the hair loss, the night sweats, all those kind of things.
I am awake and I smell so weird.
and then of course you get through that, and then again in menopause transition or perimenopause, a lot of people start noticing that again.
And is that something you can like balance treat? Out?
Absolutely.
Treat? Really?
Usually a little, like, especially at the beginning, usually just a little bit of even topical progesterone. I usually start with that. Progesterone's excellent for sleep. It's just that it breaks down into metabolites that really cause you to sleep. So you'll find people coming in saying, okay, I'm an anxious person who can't sleep. I don't know what's happening to me. Feel like they're kind of going crazy. Really, it's your progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
It has declined. It's the first hormone to decline. And that's usually because you're not always ovulating. Ovulation and the corpus luteum, etc., of the developing follicle, that's what really raises your progesterone. That's when you feel really good because you're very, very balanced. You have the estrogen, you have the progesterone to balance it out, and you feel really good. So ideally, if you could be like that all the time, it'd be perfect. But you know, there are definitely things we can do depending on symptoms, and they're usually pretty clear.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like typically, someone in perimenopause that's cycling pretty regularly, etc., doesn't need any added estrogen. If they're starting to get hot flashes and you know, some other symptoms, then they may need, in very rare cases, need estrogen, but a lot of times it's just a bit of progesterone. And as you kind of traverse through the menopause transition, then estrogen comes on board when you're really getting like can't sleep, hot flashes throughout the day, irritability, thinning skin, vaginal dryness, loss of libido, you know, all those kind of things. Exactly. Well, and the thing is, you'll hear so many doctors say, I don't know how to treat this.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't taught this. So, you know, that's where I think the Menopause Society has really stepped up and went, okay, I want practitioners to come in. They've made it available for pharmacists like myself. As long as you are willing to put the work in, do the exam.
So interesting, because it happens to every woman in the world.
Right.
It hasn't been studied, and we're just now.
And right, exactly. Like, and it was like you'll hear doctors say, "Well, we spent a lot of time on, you know, obstetrics, etc., which is very important too, but that menopause was more like, you know what? It's just part of aging. You just got to go through it."
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, it's really debilitating for some people. Some people you'll hear say, I didn't go through menopause. Well, you did. If you didn't have terrible symptoms, great. Although I still 100% believe you will age better with hormones on board, you mm-hmm. know, so just, you know, all around cardiovascular wise, cognitively, skin wise, just less skin thinning, etc. So that's what I've seen and what I'm learning as I go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you come in, or if someone comes in, let's talk about like fitness and exercise
mm-hmm.
first.
It's so important. Like, you know, so what I'll find is like you have such a variety of type of patients that come in. Some people are already doing all the things and they're like, I don't know, I haven't changed anything I'm doing. Here's what I eat, here's how I exercise, but I can't sleep. I'm gaining weight, can't lose it. And typically it is just the hormone decline. So those people, you know, we might have to tweak a few things and go like, you know, is gluten bothering you? You know, according, there's some things that will kind of remind me to ask, you know, according to their blood panel, etc. Like, could you be gluten sensitive? That kind of thing. But those people usually that already have those foundational things in place, we can just, you know, add the hormones, get the support on board, and they go, oh, that feels better. But sometimes you're getting people who, you know, are severely calorie restricted or over exercising, you know, and those things, because you're under constant stress. And so the body's going, okay, you're not feeding me enough. I'm over exercising. I'm hanging on to fat, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm hanging on for dear life. And then of course those stress hormones, etc., because your body is under stress, are throwing off all the other hormones, because mm-hmm. it's definitely...
I read a really interesting book by Nicole Jardim, and it was called Fix Your Period.
Okay.
And she talks about that for women.
Yeah.
Is like, you're spinning your brains out,
right.
and your body doesn't know if you're being chased by a lion.
Right.
Or
no.
it
you
doesn't know you're
and
on a spin
right.
cycle, like pumping up the tunes with your friends.
Right.
Like,
and it's okay. Like, I think what it is too, like, some people can handle more of that. Some people can handle less. It's all about listening to your body and going,
yeah.
Like, are you holding a bunch of weight around the waist? Think cortisol. Or think hormones declining. That's usually the first things I think. It can be thyroid too, but a lot of times those couple things, if we can kind of dig in and figure that out.
Because they're like, I need to go on a diet and exercise more.
I need to do more. And
society has
exactly
taught you.
And a lot of times, like I was just listening to a podcast too about a doctor saying, you know what, before I went through menopause, that's what I would say to people. You know, or when, you know, someone come in, well, you just need to, you know, cut maybe a few more things out and exercise more. Well, that's not working anymore. Then you end up affecting the thyroid, affecting, you know, cortisol can affect so many things, but we need to figure out a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And really everything is more beautiful with balance, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a thing. And teaching people, I mean, some people, a real type A personality, are like, no, like first of all, you can't outwork a bad diet, but you need to feed your body the right things, you know, and feeding it doesn't mean, you know, severely restricting, fasting constantly. There's lots
fasting, of... Fasting, actually, that's a dangerous fad too, if you want
well,
to talk about it.
Well, the intermittent fasting. So, you know what, I think there's really a place for intermittent fasting and fasting as well, but I think you have to know how to do it, and you have to do it so that you're not causing too much stress. So in a woman, especially a cycling woman, even beyond when people aren't cycling anymore, what can happen is you do need more carbohydrates, etc. You need more fuel, especially right before the period. So typically if people want and do well with intermittent fasting, my experience and, you know, even just some of the research I've done all seems to point to intermittent fasting is okay for kind of 3 weeks out of that month. Those first 3 weeks you can do okay, you can feel really good. But then that last one, if you're constantly doing it, eventually over time, you're probably going to cause more problems. So
mm-hmm.
I usually would tell people for the 3 weeks, you can do that, whatever window is your intermittent fasting window. But that last week, give yourself some grace. You don't usually exercise quite as hard because you're not quite as strong, don't have quite the endurance. So, but you actually need more calories hormonally. And the exact reason for that, I do know, I just can't explain it right now.
Okay. Do you want to talk about some foods, for example, like when you say extra calories, like what... good food options, like for example, like a sweet potato would you know.
That's great. That's a really great example, is like people have gotten very scared of carbohydrates. I think we need to just know that it's more the processed stuff that we're eating is the big issue. And because a lot of the times, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have heard of like the seed oils, they're in very inflammatory. So I think there's like the dirty eight or something they call them, but it's all like,
trying to explain that to someone. Right. And I think I named like a Quentin Tarantino movie. I was like, the Bloody 11, or I don't know what I call it.
Whatever.
But my brother's like, that's a movie.
Okay. You're like, I don't know, but it's something like that.
And there's bad oil and there's some of them.
Yeah. No.
And you're not supposed to have them.
You're totally right. It is like, okay. And I could be wrong too. It may not be the dirty, but if you look up seed oils, you know, I think there's eight of them that if you look at any ingredients that you're buying for food, usually on a box, you're going to see one of them, and it's usually within the first two or three ingredients. And those, if we could avoid those in our diet, like they're just so inflammatory, which does cause your body to encapsulate them in the fat cells. So it can take a while to get all of that out of your system. But I just think, so watching those kind of inflammatory foods, really anything that you're buying in a box and stuff, try to make it more like 20% of your diet. 80% should be focusing on good quality proteins, fruits, vegetables. Eat the rainbow. Get lots of, if you eat the rainbow, if you think about like get as many colors as you can, you're getting all the phytonutrients, the vitamins, minerals that you need. And those things all are very important hormonally, are very important digestively. They're the prebiotics, all the fiber that we need and keep the bowels moving, etc. And all those things kind of play into how a person feels and how a person functions.
Yeah. I actually, so I got put on, I won't say who or why, but I was getting treatment for, you know, figuring out hormones and stuff like that. Especially for skin for me, it shows in my skin. I have an autoimmune disorder, so I have psoriasis. So everything shows up.
As soon as
so
you're stressed.
Hyper aware of everything. And I got put on a high fat, high meat diet. And like,
it that did not
was
work
not
for, you.
For me. Like, it was not for me.
And there
that
are some people who do okay with it. But I think listening to your body, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and I think
so there are people doing carnivore. And I do have lots of people coming in.
My sister can, though.
Right.
She does really
well with it.
And her goal is never to lose weight. And, of course, she owns a yoga studio. So she's very body aware as well.
Right.
But she was a vegetarian. And it wasn't working for her body at all. And then I started looking, and I won't get into it with you, because. But I read the blood typing book. And, like, it was, like,
is
I don't
that
think
Dr. Abravanel?
It's Eat Right for Your Blood Type.
Yeah.
And his
dad
started the research in the 50s.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think there's something to it, because my sister is O and I am A.
There really is. So,
like,
years ago when I started seeing Dr. Gary Schaefer.
It.
Do you know him, Dr.
No.
Gary Schaefer? So he's from Sherwood Park. He was from Unity years ago. And I started seeing him when I was in university for different things. And he recommended that book right away. And I'm O. Are you O? Did you say?
I'm
A.
A. My sister's O.
Okay.
Which
so I would do better
spin.
With
she
that.
She can do yoga.
Right?
She can do high intense things. And
it's
they don't
different.
Spike that stress. She does well. She thrives
with it.
And
yeah.
her period was better.
Right.
She's like, my period's always better when I eat meat.
So and you know
I'm
what?
Starting again. I was like, then eat meat.
And
what
a,
are you doing?
A, that's exactly right.
I'm
I do
down
think
to,
there
like,
is.
Kale.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So
yeah,
like an
I took my friend's blood because I was he was curious. And so I'm like, I'm so sorry. You're A.
Especially if you like meat, I'm really
sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry about your luck.
No.
But like I feel so good
and
on
you
a
just
plant-based.
You've got to go with that,
it's
right?
crazy.
Yeah,
and you know
do.
What? I've embraced it. And I love to cook, so it's okay for me, which my friend always says. She's like, but you love to cook. So you're like, roll with it. And you get creative. But I don't feel hungry or like deprived or sad in any way.
So that's important. And I think like you see, and that's the first thing I would ask someone is how do you feel? Like I definitely do well with meat, but if I ate meat only, I think it's mostly because I'd be really sad. Yeah. You know, because I love all the stuff. I love vegetables. I love the whole grains. I love, you know, all. I like a really, I feel best with a balanced diet. At one time, I can say years ago when it was kind of more the low fat craze, and I think I was eating everything just so low fat, I felt terrible. And it was mostly because you end up eating so many processed things. But we didn't have the knowledge then. I was in university, and I mean,
and there was just so much sugar.
Like, it could be so low fat, but what are they replacing?
26
with
grams of sugar.
Yeah, exactly.
Per serving.
So I think when I first started cutting all that out and eating more just protein and vegetables, I felt so amazing that I thought, well, this is the, but you know, years later, like, you end up needing to create a balance with it, I guess, is the thing. Mm-hmm. So,
like, don't be afraid of grains and whole grains.
Exactly. And stuff unless like you have a reason to. I think that's the biggest thing is you see such extreme diets, and usually if you do that for long enough, and you know, it's kind of the yo-yo thing, your body doesn't really know what's going on, and it gets stressed, right? So it's, what's it going to do? It's going to keep that layer of fat, because those are the most vital internal organs, so it's going to keep them protected too. So cortisol does that, and you know, just when your body's under stress, it wants to keep you as
that makes sense.
Safe.
So yeah. Mindfulness in exactly. Like exercise and diet.
And people don't necessarily want to hear that because it's on them.
Right.
You know?
It's hard.
And it
it's
is hard.
It's not easy.
Because
it's
the world we live in, right? Like, it's, I mean, you kind of, there's this like go, go, go mentality, etc. And if you're not doing enough, then it's kind of correlated with your worth. What it shouldn't be, right? No. You know what works for me? If I'm balanced, if I'm well, I'm a better mom. You know, you're always mom, whether they're gone in university, whatever. And I'm a better wife, a better friend, a better employee, all those kind of things.
And you're better for yourself.
Exactly.
Like, you can get through the day without hitting that giant crash at 3 or...
Exactly.
Or just like,
And I think that's the thing, like, brain fog, exactly. That's the thing that I've really learned, even with the way I'm practicing now. And I think I love working the one-on-one with people. I've found sort of, I guess, my place in this profession. And I feel like, there's lots to do. And yes, it's very busy, but it's not as, to me, as stressful. Because I feel like there's a plan, you know, for each person, kind of thing. So I think less stress is, I'm just better, and I'm better at what I do when I'm less stressed. So it's finding what works for each person. And so really setting people on that path. If you see someone come in and go, well, I'm working night shifts, and I'm doing this, and I'm trying to still lose weight, and I've got this really restrictive diet, and I just don't know what to do, and you know, I'm having trouble with my kids, or I'm this, first of all, we've got to kind of slow down and go, okay, what would work for you? Is it the job that's the biggest, you know? And you know, it's not that people can just go and quit their jobs or anything, but you still do have to find that balance that's going to
work
for you. Night
shifting for women, if you can get out of working at night, right?
I know. So our daughter is a nurse, and she just completed her first year of working as an RN. And so she was at the U of S in surgery, 5,000, and she found it super stressful. They kind of leave them on their own fairly quickly. And
scary.
No, and so she said, I had lots of learning, but it's so stressful. And then of course the night shifts, and I kept kind of, you know, probing her to, okay, are you sure you like the night shifts? And she's like, Mom, I'm fine. And I thought, you know what, she is young. I'm thinking of it more, putting myself in that situation and thinking, there's no way I could do this, so I need to just stay out of it. So I kind of kept quiet, and then finally she's like, okay, I need to make a shift, because I can't have a regular day. I'm getting so tired, I'm not feeling myself, you know, so she ended up, she's a hemodialysis nurse now. So her latest shift is till 10. And I think, like, we can see a huge difference just even in her mindset now, because I think her days, she can have a normal day, get a normal sleep at night. And, And we could see even over the year, just it affecting her. Although someone has to do that job. And I know. I really think it's amazing when people can do it and do it well. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had some nurse friends and by like, you know, I guess some of them, yeah, would be almost 40.
Right.
And they were like, I'm shifting my work. Yeah, I cannot and do you know this what? Anymore.
To me, they put their time in. Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure they have. Yeah. And they're great at it. It's
right. And we need them. People and I think, yeah, isn't it?
Are
yeah.
in those positions. Yeah. I'm always amazed at what they do and what they can
I know.
Exactly. tolerate and get through. And no, it is. It takes a lot of wherewithal and for yeah, sure. they're strong women, but at some point you have to say
pass
enough
it on.
Is enough.
Pass the baton.
And to, I'm yeah. taking care of me.
Yes.
And they did. Yes. And I'm so yeah. proud of them. Yeah. So.
Because that's not an easy thing to do after you've kind of accumulated all your worth or a lot of your worth from I am a caregiver. I find that myself too, like being sort of the health professional in our family, and you know, just among friends and stuff. I find I'm just used to giving lots of time, giving lots of advice, and being there for people, which I love, and I feel like that's a huge part of my identity. Although so it's very hard for me sometimes to without guilt go, this is what I need to do for me. I need to say no to whatever something is, you know, just so that because I know this is what I need. I need time right now. Or I, you know, mm-hmm. so that's really, it's tough, but it gets easier.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's a lot of women struggle with that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, yep. well, and I'm not what? Very I good think, at saying no.
No.
Because I just
no,
love,
I'm not either. I'm you know, terrible but, at it.
yeah. But, that whole self-worth and being stubborn about standing up yeah. for what mm-hmm. you need is really important.
Exactly. And I think the more we talk about it and the more I think, you know, passing on, say, wisdom to like from my age to someone your age, you know, that kind of thing, I think that's huge. And giving people support and we're better to each other and for our families, for your friends, as a professional, if we can just talk about these things. And I think women have, up until, you know, quite recently, just learned to kind of keep a stiff upper lip. And I don't want to be
or
like,
talk about
yeah,
your period
right.
at all.
No.
Or your cycle.
It's quite
yeah.
embarrassing for people.
Yeah.
And, yeah
I'm like,
no.
I will tell you.
Yeah.
right.
No.
Like,
and you know what? When your husband or your partner knows kind of what happens, knows what to expect, knows how to support you, that's amazing. I mean, you can, your relationship gets better, etc.
Yeah, communication.
Right.
Actually, Heather Sinfield came on. I don't know if you know Heather.
I don't think
she
I do.
She did yoga at Oasis for a while too, so and she's has it, her training, but
I probably
she came on
her,
and
yeah.
we had an episode, we had four. Yeah,
oh,
let's talk about
wow,
sex. Let's talk about sex again because it's
talk about, yeah.
the most popular
mm-hmm.
thing. And then it was all touched out. And then, yeah, things about relationships
mm-hmm.
and communication
mm-hmm.
Are so important. And my husband and partner, it was like, why didn't you tell me? Give me a warning. Like,
right.
you know, you need more rest.
Right.
And
yeah.
alone time, you just need like,
yeah.
cause, or put on your
different people
head,
need different
like,
amounts of downtime and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find. If I've been too overly like socially stimulated or too much time at work, giving too much, it's the last thing that you'd want to do is
yeah.
like, I have no more to give. Sorry. Done.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
so,
going for a bath
yeah,
and I'm going to bed.
And, yes, exactly.
Teddy
and,
can come with me
yeah.
and he'll have a bath and he'll go to
yeah.
bed. We'll at least take
yeah.
that busy factor
right.
away from you.
Right.
But like, done.
Yeah.
Done.
No, that's
and
right.
I think that's okay to say.
It is okay
yeah,
to say.
Don't try to
well,
tough it out.
But,
that's no
at
longer
the... same
the,
time, the like that is one of the things that, you know, some women are really embarrassed to come in and say, but if you can give them, say, a questionnaire where they don't have to say it out loud, like, can you just rate your symptoms on here? Often it will be like, how's your libido? It's terrible, you
mm-hmm.
know? And yesterday I just even had a husband wife come in and the husband was like, I go to every appointment with her and he was really good. He was just saying like, you know, they were talking about it together and, you know, you could tell she was a little bit timid about certain things, but they were able to kind of talk it out in front of me. So I think it was helpful. And, but I thought that was so great in the sense that they're working through both their issues together, you know, mm-hmm. and they're looking for a solution. They're not just getting mad at one another and yeah. that kind of thing. So, because that is one thing that's huge, and it's really affects relationships, but women's libidos especially just plummet at a certain point in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And it's treatable too. So,
yeah.
Which is...
Oh, good. And you're yeah. creating that. So yeah. I'm so, yeah. our community is lucky to have you.
Oh,
thank you for coming on and talking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Juana Sykes so does a bit, and I'll send it to you after this, on Instagram, that she talked about after menopause, you just become a man and life gets way better. But she
what?
Says it in a real, okay, really
that
funny
is
way.
Actually
she,
funny.
She said you no longer give a shit.
No, and you know what? It is kind of an empowering thing. They'll say, first of all, you end up focusing on yourself a bit more because you have to. And then when you are through menopause, you are more stable. You are more like a man, you know? Like you don't have those ups and downs, etc. I still think it would be great if we get people on hormone therapy at the right time. They can stay on that mm-hmm. then and just, you know, age a little better. But it is true. You're more stable.
Yeah.
So
she said,
but
the
there's such a wonderful.
Gone.
Yeah. 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 That's true. No give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I like that.
I like that
it's
too.
It's a good, she's funny. It's a good way to look at it. Like,
no,
okay, there's
that's
a,
true.
Like, there's a silver lining. There's a coming out of this and there, you know.
There is. And I think you learn so much about yourself. Like there is a book that I have known about for a long time and I've had it for a long time. The first book of hers by Christian Northrup is Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's an older book, but there's so much valuable information, especially for like, she's very intuitive, etc. And then her other book is called The Wisdom of Menopause. And it's just amazing. And it's just how, you know what, this is the time when people tune into themselves. They start to become more intuitive. What do I need, etc. So, yeah, I think it's really important. Yeah,
to educate, yeah, self-educate,
exactly.
and read about it, and
yeah.
be
it can be a wonderful
your...
time if we, you know, do it right.
Yeah,
yeah.
They can come see
give
you or
grace.
Research,
yeah.
or
yeah.
find someone in their own
exactly.
community. Obviously, our listeners
yeah.
aren't just local.
No,
they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think. Yeah, self-awareness, self-education, and then asking mm-hmm. for help, which
exactly.
I'm sure.
Exactly. And there's so much information out there now, right? Like it's, you know, just know who you're listening to or whatever if you're researching on your own. But there's information. So
and there's nothing wrong
reach
with
out.
You. We're all going
yes,
through it.
Exactly.
Together.
Yeah, it is.
And
right.
just, yeah, be careful about the, like, even cold, or you can see right there, the cold plunging.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
you even have to be careful
love
with that for
yeah.
women,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, just because,
so,
yes, exactly. Like, I think cold plunging is amazing,
mm-hmm.
but again...
I didn't do it in the winter.
Yeah.
I couldn't,
you couldn't
pull myself
to, do,
to
oh, yeah.
do... Well, first of all, I was like, I'll do it in the garage, but I just can't recover from
right.
it in okay. the winter. Like,
right.
I can't warm up again.
Right,
so
yeah.
I'm like, maybe
and,
it'll
yeah.
just be a summer
maybe.
Thing.
Exactly. I could see that. Well, I mean, if you're naturally a cold person too,
I am.
Yeah, then yeah, I can see. So that's creating stress then, right? But although it does have so many benefits, like neurocognitive benefits, increasing dopamine, etc. But again, I do think for women, you know, I haven't studied that enough. We do have a cold plunge too, and I haven't been in it for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean,
we went in it
just
in,
step outside
yeah,
in
yeah.
your underwear in the
and
winter,
you're good.
And
yeah.
you're fine.
yeah.
People
but,
are like, that's not the same. I was like, come live where
right.
I live.
Yeah,
it's
you
the
maybe
same.
Don't want to get cold. Yeah,
yeah.
don't want to get in the cold water bath. But
yeah,
anyway, yeah, my husband's into doing it now. A fair bit. He was one person that could never even get in for a while, and
yeah,
and then,
my
yeah.
husband too. Are they just like bigger? Like, are they more like
bigger babies?
Are we just, yeah, they're babies.
yeah.
Like, I no. feel like pain tolerance maybe
is
or something
yeah.
because we
Rob,
have
Rob
babies.
Can't stand if you put a cold hand on his back. But...
Yeah, like Carly couldn't get in for the first like 2 months.
Oh really?
Yeah, he was like he just and then
oh,
finally
funny.
He started.
He did do it, and then
doing
it gets easier as you go, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you do build up that tolerance, but.
My tolerance, I think, is going now that
yeah.
I haven't done it for 5 months or
right.
whatever. But like, summer. I even when fall and winter hit, I didn't feel as cold all the time after doing it for a whole summer.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't as sensitive to our minus 47.
And are you a person that gets in the morning?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It is a great way to start the day.
It's awesome. Yeah. You feel so
It's just getting yourself to do it, right?
I'll do anything to feel really good.
Exactly. You can just go, you know what? I've heard this, someone say, make your morning hard so the rest of the day is easy.
Oh, and I love that.
And I do love it too, because whether it's like get in your cold plunge, do your exercise, set your day up so that that's not like typically for me anyway, and I know just, you know, working with people, I find that if you wait for exercise later in the day,
there's a statistic. I said it in my book. You're 80, I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah. But you're probably right.
You're 80% less likely if you leave it till later in the day.
Just get it done, and then you have the benefits of feeling all those good.
I always, you know, I don't go for a hard run anymore after I read Nicole's book and how I should, and then the blood typing thing where A's are more like yoga and walkers, but they say if you are already a runner and you're already
keep it nice and easy.
So I'm like, cool, just take walk breaks and look at the trees and breathe.
Enjoy it.
And
but still you feel
running
wonderful.
Running has become so much more, it's more like enjoyable. Meditation
Not
for
like,
me.
I got to be this fast and I got to be, good
and
for you.
Because if I do, so this is an example of what happens. I know I like kind of wrapped up, but this is what happens. And this is, if I go running and I go harder, if I go to a spin class, I can't help it because I am a little bit athletic and competitive. Yeah. If I go to a spin class, I will spin hard.
Right.
And then I'm depressed for 2 days afterward.
Yeah.
Nope. And that day I'm
like
a write-off.
I know this feeling. I know this. So I love CrossFit. If I go to a CrossFit class, I can't help, but it's not that I need to beat that person, etc. It's just I push myself to a different level than I do when I do it at home.
Yeah.
So I love CrossFit. I still exercise sort of that way at home, but I don't push myself to those levels because when I do, I really plummet.
It's not worth it to not be able to function for the...
Yeah. Yeah,
48
you gotta listen
or
to yourself.
24 hours,
like,
and when you have three young kids, that's not an option for me anymore.
It's not
I can't
work.
Even have a glass of wine or anything anymore.
No. Yeah,
I'm totally, I'm clean living.
Yes, I saw that too. That you weren't drinking anything, and you know what? That is such a thing that, you know, like people can get into a habit of thinking, well, and I mean myself included, but I need that glass of wine at the end of my day. That's my little reward. Well, a lot of times now, if I choose to have a glass of wine, I'm choosing not to sleep. And so I don't choose that. You know, it's not that I never have one, but wow, has it decreased because I feel so much better without it.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought that was awesome that you put that out there. And I think so many more people are putting it out there that, you know what, if you want to feel well, you have to really realize like the things that you're doing. So how does it affect you, etc. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
good
my
just
best
to share all this stuff
sober,
because we can
help
each other be better, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's things out there that are telling you the opposite. You have to listen to yourself. They're like,
yes,
one glass
of
wine a day is fine. And you're like, okay, fine. It is fine. But it's
not
really
me.
Not.
Right.
They talk, they have a specific podcast. He has a lot of podcasts. He has like 800. He's on an episode like 800. But Rich Roll and Dan... Butine, I forget how to say his last name. He's the guy who did the like 25 years of research on the Blue Zone. So people who live
along,
past
yes, I've heard. Yeah,
so good,
that's so interesting.
So they talk a lot, but he had a guest, Rich Roll had a guest on about how people who just drink a little, like it causes brain fog, it causes depression, it causes all of those.
You're right. Yeah, so exactly. You just, I think you have to go, okay, am I getting symptoms? Don't disregard that. Mm-hmm. Don't think it's something else. I remember years ago, I'd think, whenever I have red wine, like I wake up in a night sweat and I'd think, is it that? And you'd kind of almost don't want it to be that.
You don't want it to be. No.
Right. You just don't want it to be. Yeah. So, but you know what? It is. And I'm okay with
tea,
it.
And I love chaga water.
There's lots of other good things,
I love,
right?
Like there's other treats
that
you can get used to.
Pick your battles, right?
Yeah.
So
my husband
does
really well on chaga water.
Right.
Like he drinks it all the time and I notice how different he is when he is having it. And you just get addicted to the healthier habits.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Which once you start feeling better, you know what it's like to feel different, I think, too. So you don't want to go back.
No. Never. Yeah. No. Never. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. We could talk a very long time. I think so. Yeah. Which is great.
Very interesting person you are.
Good to see you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And not only that,
thanks for having me.
Giving this to our community because I don't have one friend, contact, or human who isn't going through something like this. So
I think I think I'm very happy to offer it, but it's helping me. Like you learn so much through helping other people, you know. So
it must be rewarding seeing people succeed.
It's a huge learning curve. It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, okay. So, do you want to share a success story? Do you have one like that you could?
Okay. So my very first patient, actually, she wrote a testimonial. So she was really having trouble. She said, suddenly I just gained all this weight. She wasn't feeling well. She was like, I just don't feel right in my old skin. So she was kind of my guinea pig. And so I wanted to know, how's this program going to look, etc. So just said to her, we're not even going to charge you. We're just going to do this for you. And she was like, I'm sleeping better. I'm losing the weight. I can function. What else did she say? Just so many things. She actually changed her job.
Wow. Yeah,
so that was a big thing because it was stressful. She had like a long, long commute to come in from out of town to work at the bank and was really like not getting enough sleep, etc. So we talked about all those foundational things. And honestly, so she really sticks out in my mind because she's been done like the program part of it for quite a long time, still comes and gets her prescriptions, etc. But she... you know, she's done well. We haven't had to change anything, et cetera. But so many of my patients are right in the middle of, even adjustments, et cetera. But right away, you'll hear people going, I don't have the night sweats anymore. Thank you. That's just amazing. I'm sleeping better. You know, so there's always little things along the way, or the brain fog's letting up and, you know, that kind of thing. So all those things,
that's,
I always think,
cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're just excited that people can be feeling better for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, very rewarding.
Yeah.
Good for you. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
that was
thanks,
great.
Brandy. Yeah, it was good.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.